All right, you're good to start whenever.
Okay, as we're starting to see the participants roll in, both of them. Well, there we go. Good evening, welcome to the October 12th meeting of CPAC on Zoom during the COVID experience. I'm Stephen Hagberg. I am the chair of CPAC, and I'll just go ahead and toss it to my other guest panelists on the show.
I'm Shana Raphael from District 2.
Crystal Edwards, District 3.
Kiara Daniels here, at large.
Dana.
And I see Lewis there, so we'll jump to city staff. In the form of Makota and then Tanisha.
Good evening, CPAC and members. So one of the main items that we have for an update tonight is on the community trauma response team, some of the conversations that staff have been having over the last couple weeks. The last time we spoke, myself and Vicky McLaurin from Neighborhood and Community Services were assigned as the project leads for this, so that we have someone assigned to take this work forward. What I'm going to do is just basically kind of talk you through some of the options that we looked at and where things stand right now. But before I jump into that, I'll ask if Tanisha would like to kind of kick off any general conversation to start that off.
Do I need to have the agenda approved?
And,
that might be something that we might want to do. Tacoma Police, would you introduce yourself real quick, and then we'll get to the approval of the agenda.
My apologies, Chair. I'm getting too excited.
Oh, no, not a problem. You've got information. We're excited, so.
I'm Dan Still, the Internal Affairs Lieutenant.
And I am Chris Carl. I'm the temporary captain of our services division. And Chief Akey is here somewhere. He'll be back, I'm sure, in a minute.
Outstanding. Glad to have everybody here and everybody in the participant attendees block. Welcome to you guys, too. Having said that, I'll take a motion to approve the agenda for tonight.
Lewis, so moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor? Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The agenda as published is approved. On to the approval of the minutes from the September 14th meeting. Unless there's objection, may I have a motion?
Lewis, so moved.
I'll second.
All those in favor? Any abstentions or nays? Hearing none, I'll declare this motion the minutes of September 14th adopted. We had a special meeting on September 21st. It was a single issue meeting. And we had that done. The minutes are there, September 21. Are there any objections or revisions? If not, I'll take a motion to go ahead and approve.
I'll move to approve.
Okay, there we go. All those in favor? All those opposed? Hearing no opposition, we'll declare this adopted as well. On to briefing items, and the first one is community trauma response team, and Makota, you want to take over?
Yeah, apologies for jumping the gun there just a little bit. I have to take notes at the same time, and I'm not very proficient at multitasking over here, it seems. So I gave you a quick briefing into kind of what I was about to jump into. So I'll ask at this time if Tanisha can give us a quick overview of the CTR team where we're at, and then I'll jump into some more of the details. You're muted, Tanisha.
So like Makota was saying, we have After a conversation with Crystal, we discussed the need for someone to kind of project manage this process all the way through and make sure that we didn't lose track. I talked to the city manager about that and asked from the CPAC side if that could be Bakota. And then Linda Stewart asked if that could be Vicki McLaurin from her side so that we could make sure there was no information lost between getting us to a contract and the actual contract and we wouldn't lose any time. And so the two of them have teamed up to work on kind of figuring out the areas around around the CTRT. They've done some good work talking to both the chaplaincy program and the vendor who applied for the original contract and trying to figure out what the pieces and parts are that work and don't work in order for us to get to the point of the contract. The organization that applied to be the vendor had some very specific requests of us that we needed to work through, and there were still some outstanding questions amongst the chaplaincy. I think I'm going to stop there and let Bakota kind of tell you what he's learned and worked through and kind of where we're at this point.
Yeah, so what we did from the staff side, we did meet with both vendors and we received official proposals from the both of them to consider. And we compared both of their service models, being very clear from what we understood from CPAC's directive last time that the service provided is community-based and community-led. And so we made that very clear with both TIP and the chaplaincy as the possible vendors. The TIP program, when we were discussing this with them, gave us an overview of their service model and compared to what the chaplaincy currently provides for our external partners here when they are called out to sites so that we could compare them side by side. And I'll go through just a little bit of the kind of highlights of what's important between those two options. For program costs, they're very similar, but their models are very different. TIP doesn't currently operate out of Tacoma, but they would be interested in setting up here. What they do is they recruit community members from the area, and then they will help them train so that they can go to service calls to help members of the public go through traumatic events, connect them to resources, and follow up with the family and be a contact as they move forward. The chaplaincy has been doing a service for the police department and the fire department in Tacoma for almost 50 years. It's very similar through their program. In our discussions with them, they did make very clear that they can provide trauma and informed care and intervention services, but we were trying to get them to get to a point where they could share how they would make that a more community-based model to meet CPAC's original directive. The original directive we were pretty clear with them working through was that many members of the public may have issue with a chaplain responding, even though they may consider themselves members of the public and may not bring with them a religious support, that the perception is there, and it was very important that that perception be broken. So the proposals we got from both of them are similar in nature, but we were not able to get to a final point with either of them to how they would set up. What we're here with CPAC today was to give these updates is to share that if we were to move forward with one of these two options, this is kind of where it stands now. With the chaplaincy, they have been in the community for about 50 years. They can integrate already into police and fire services, and they would just have to break out a portion of their services to create a community-based model that responds much like a chaplain, but would be a separate component of their organization. If the TIP provider was selected, then they can implement their services like they have in other communities, but they have some very strict requests that we'd have to meet in order for them to serve us here. Staff is still working through some of those discussions, but one of the kind of highlights to what that means and what we want to be very clear about is if we bring TIP in, it would mean that a change to the current response model that the chaplaincy operates under, because they would want to be the first go-to call, of course, which is very different from things that are already set up in the system. If we can't get to an agreement with either of these vendors that works for CPAC's initial mission, the third option we might move forward with would be going back out with an RFP that has a different request to try to find a new vendor. So that's just the high level highlights that we want to share now. And we're hoping that over the next week or two here at most, that we'll be able to finalize these conversations and bring back kind of final proposals for CPAC to review and make a decision on.
So I think one thing that we were hoping, and I don't know if we've landed completely, if Cody can jump in if I'm wrong, we were hoping that we could get the two organizations to coordinate and work together for the purpose of the police and fire being really very familiar with the chaplaincy program. They're already in the Southbound 911 kind of system, and they've got some of that stuff worked out that it doesn't have worked out. And we were hoping that because of the relationships that we could find a way to integrate the two to make them all work. At this point, that doesn't seem as viable an option as we originally thought. And TIP really, their request would be that the chaplaincy program would kind of change their focus and be focused completely internal so that they could do the external work. And so that's where, and they requested that we'd give them some assurance that that would be the way we would move forward for them to be comfortable working with us at this point.
Well, it sounds like a challenge, and I appreciate all that you guys are doing, and it sounds like there's some progress. Crystal, did you have any thoughts or questions?
Yeah, if nobody else has any other questions, I can go last.
Okay, is there anybody else that has any questions for city staff on this?
I'm curious as to just roughly the time frame, Tanisha. What are you thinking in terms of 3 weeks, 2 weeks, a month?
So basically after next week when, so we had a couple of things to try to figure out with legal and the police to see if there was even a way we could write some contract that would give TIP like the first line, if there's, you know, with South, like how would we work all that stuff out. So we have to figure that stuff out, but I would say within a week or two we would know for sure if we could move forward with one or the other of these organizations, and then it would just go into, but TIP won't even start negotiations with us until we can give them that assurance that they would be the only. So we have to get that part cleared up before we can even move forward with that. So
is there's no pushback, is there, on this? In terms of TIP. I mean, is there any concerns with the city?
On about, TIP?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say it. I mean, I guess I would say the concern is that we were hoping that they would be a little more flexible in working with us, because it puts the chiefs, both for fire and police, in a awkward situation to have to abruptly break relationships they've already had for a long time. Yeah. But if that's the only way to move forward, the city manager's committed to making it happen. So we were trying to not get to that space. If that makes sense.
Yes. That's all I have.
Thank you, Lewis. Dana, did you have some?
Yeah, I guess my question would be, with the chaplaincy group, it feels like they've had the opportunity to make some of these changes in the past. And have they made any of the changes to come into alignment with this new direction that we're going towards? Because it's not like this is something new. Necessarily, but I guess my concern would be if we keep it with the chaplaincy, I'm worried that there won't be change. That's my comment, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think that Bacola and Vicky did a good job of explaining them the way that we need them to change. We've never asked them directly, and they didn't submit a proposal when the original RFP went out. They found out about the proposal through TIP reaching out to them and saying, hey, you've already got this program in your community. So we have the same, this part is the part that's going to come back to you guys in terms of your decision-making on whether you think the chaplaincy program can meet the needs that you have. We were trying to get the partner, get them to work together. And then now that we know that can happen, we're trying to just get you all the information so that you can have all the information in front of you to make a good educated decision on which way to go.
Okay. Go ahead. Kiara, Shana, do you guys have questions or anything?
Dana kind of hit my concerns, nailed it on the head of kind of what I was wondering.
Yeah, same. I guess I'm just trying to figure out how we're going to move forward with this. And so I don't have any comments or questions. I guess I'm just, Yeah, I don't really know what to say.
Okay. Crystal, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, thank you. So I think we need to be very clear in the fact that the chaplaincy actually did not put in a bid when we put out the RFP. So when we talk about this process, you know, we cannot say that they put in a bid because they haven't. The bid was back in, 6 months ago. So we only had one organization put in a bid. So whatever bid is being looked at from the chaplaincy, we haven't seen. And that wasn't put in when the RFP was actually put out. So I just want to make sure that we understand that and that we're using the proper terminology for that. Some of the questions and concerns that I have would be with the chaplaincy, like kind of Dana's question about have they addressed some of the needs of the community already? And I think we've been asking for data from the chaplaincy in regards to the communities that they serve, their volunteer numbers, the demographics of their volunteers, and we still haven't received any of that information. And nor could that be found easily. So I think that when we look at considering the chaplaincy from the CPAC perspective, we really haven't seen what they do. So I would like to set up a meeting with the CTRT subcommittee with the chaplaincy to find out more and have them present to us their response data, because we still haven't seen that. And then also, I don't know if Tanisha and Bakota, you guys are able to share whatever proposal they put together, because we haven't seen that either. And then in regards to the vendor, I think that the other vendor, I think it's a question of going back to the original RFP and us looking at both proposals, and I don't know what the process would look like from there. Tanisha, do we make a recommendation of what we think would work best? Is that what the next step would be?
Yeah.
Yes, so the next step after we can kind of confirm that these proposals, either one could be viable, would be for CPAC to make a recommendation to move forward with one of them as a vendor or to go back out in some manner. And we can provide the proposal we got from the chaplaincy after our additional outreach, but it's almost identical to TIP's original proposal because they had helped each other kind of put it together.
Okay, but the chaplaincy doesn't have a history of performing under that spectrum in the historically, correct? This would be a new thing for them.
The community aspect, so to be very clear, they consider that they already are community members, so that's a definitional thing between their organization. They do provide trauma intervention services right now to Tacoma Cube residents. TPD does call them out to provide that support, so they do provide the service, and they just don't have an arm that would meet CPAC's directive for a community-led, community-directed arm at their work.
Okay. So are we going to get that emailed, the proposal emailed to us, and then set up maybe a CTRT subcommittee meeting and then maybe the opportunity to speak with the chaplaincy? Would that be appropriate?
Yeah, so setting up a meeting with the chaplain and getting you the information, that part will be easy. So if you're able to just provide me after this meeting, then when your committee can meet, I can connect you with the chaplain program to make that meeting happen.
Okay. So then what I would say is for the subcommittee, we'd meet and then come back and report, you know, our thoughts and recommendation to the rest of the CPAC group. So that's where I would go from here. If anybody else have any comments or suggestions, I'm open to hear them.
I think that's a good plan.
Okay, and welcome, Elizabeth. It's good to have you here.
Go ahead.
All right. Have we captured all the action items that need to be done on this one?
I think so.
Okay. Let's go ahead and close this out and move to item two for city staff.
So the Obama pledge, what is actually consists mostly of eight can't wait policies, which we have already adopted and put into practice. So at this point, we are not on that super tight timeline that we were thinking about because we've actually, because the city was already moving in that direction, we are already have adopted those policies, which I think we asked TPD to give us some updates on today. But so we won't have to do that part, but what Kenny and I talked about is looking at the rest of the use of force policies and seeing if there's anything else additional to the eight can't wait policies that we want to talk with the community about and report back to the to council on, since they asked you guys to review use of force. But in terms of that super tight timeline of the 90 days to look at the eight can't wait policies, basically we've already accomplished that piece. So now it's just to do another round of community outreach to say that if there are additional policies that we think are concerned about or that we want to get community feedback on as it relates to use of force. So that one luckily kind of eased up our timeline, which is good because we still, the other conversation we need to have is about the CPAC's role and if there's any change to your role and what that might look like. So I think the policy committee, you guys already got the use of force policies before, didn't, have you received?
Yeah, we were reviewing those prior to the body camera thing. So we suspended the use of force policy review and we had planned to pick it up in October. Am I correct on that, Lewis?
Yep. That's correct.
That is correct.
Okay.
So now we can finish that review and see if there's anything else that needs to be brought that you want to have community outreach with. And then once you guys have your subcommittee meetings kind of scheduled, Kenny was going to work with the outreach committee to figure out how, like, the timing of when you guys would do that now that you're not under that tight 90-day rule for the Obama pledge. Are there any questions about that?
Okay. Lewis, are you comfortable with that timeline and that set of objectives?
Well, I think if Shannon says, I'm good with it.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Since it's us, I mean, but she
should. I get the feeling you don't want me to be the chair.
No.
I'm gonna be the chair.
Lewis is your biggest supporter.
But no, I agree that I think that's fine. It's nice to not have, I know Lewis and I were a little stressed about that timeline, so it's nice.
Yeah.
I was stressed about it too, and I thought we were like close
probably
to missing it.
Probably more than we were. Cause
I was just kind of freaking out. And then, but Kenny's been attending all the meetings and then he worked with the 21st Century Policing people to make sure that we weren't missing a benchmark and we were not, because it's mostly about the eight can't wait policies.
Thank you. I think that's great.
Well, thank you, Subcommittee Chair Shana. I'm going to get it right at some point here. Outstanding, we can close that out. The resolution, community-led systems transformation. I hear there's some news there.
You got this one, Coder, or you want me to do this one too?
You would have more information on it. I just know the resolution details.
So So the mayor presented on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, her community-led transformation plan, Heal the Heart of Tacoma. And she actually sent out an email today to me and the director of OEHR. She would like to meet with the chairs of both CIRA, Project Peace, and CPAC to talk to you more in depth about what it is. I'm trying to get that date scheduled and trying to see if it's open to all CPAC members or just the chairs. So as soon as I have that, you'll get an email about it. But basically, it's about taking transformation beyond just policing, looking at it throughout the entire community, and how do we make the changes to become an anti-racist Tacoma. So there's going to be application for what she's calling the core coordinating committee, which will be a committee of individuals that will help lead the work. And they'll kind of design the different areas that need to be looked at. We're also having conversation with National Network of Safe Communities, which is a group that focuses on, why did I just lose the word? Not reparations. Reconciliation. So they learned from the group in South Africa who did racial reconciliation, and they use that work to repair between communities and policing. And now we're looking at how we could do that with other sectors as well. So it will be important work for you guys because you'll want to be working alongside of them. So like I said, we just got the email today. There should be a doodle poll going out within this week for the chairs. And then I'm going to see if I can get, I'm asking for the meeting to be open to all members of CPAC so that you guys can all hear it for yourselves. But if you look at the study session from Tuesday, last Tuesday, there's a PowerPoint that kind of walks through what this work, what she's envisioning for this work. So we're working on it internally. We're doing some work, and then that this is the work that will be happening externally, and then we'll be going to do separate work. But the one outside will be completely ran by a community. So.
Well, outstanding. Bogota, did you have anything to add on that one? Nope. Thank you, Tanisha, very much for that. Any questions? Not hearing any questions. So we'll go ahead and close that out. Thank you, city staff, for the updates this evening. And we'll move on to item briefing, item Bravo, and talk to our friends over at the Tacoma Police Department on updates. I asked kind of a general question of what policing is like under COVID-19 and if they had any concerns or support issues that they could think of. We'd be happy to hear them. So I guess we'll turn it over to Chief Akey.
Hey, good evening. Sorry, I've been having some internet issues, so I transitioned to my phone. So hopefully you have a good connection with me right now. The question you have about policing in the COVID-19 environment, it's changed the way we've done things. We've tried to mitigate the amount of contacts we have with people, both, you know, people who are calling in and concerns that we have, trying to mitigate to maybe an online forum or a telephonic contact when we can. That also includes safety measures within our own department. We used to have turnouts every day before a shift goes out in a main auditorium and such, but we don't do that anymore just to make sure that we have safety concerns and everyone's, you know, masked up as appropriate. We've had to adjust to the way we do some business in regards to the courts and with the jails. The jail also has booking restrictions on who can be booked into the jail, and they let us know on a daily basis based upon the current situation by the health department and such. But it's been cooperative nature that we've been working with them. Also, the courts, you know, just a couple months ago have started back up again. So the backlogs of of court cases and such, you know, that started to come back forward. But that does mean that there are people that normally we would deal with differently. We'd have to be creative when the jail is not taking in new inmates. One of the issues, for example, is stolen cars. One of the increases that we have, if you looked at the stats that were provided to you, there was definitely an increase in motor vehicle theft for the year. So let's just talk about the last 28 days, you know, talking about almost a 28% increase. Even if we capture the people who are suspects in the motor vehicle thefts, there are times we can't book them into the jail. So we just get their information and do the best we can, and we have to release them after we positively identify them. So those are some of the different kind of things that we've had to make some adjustments in that COVID-19 environment. I have looked at our stats, and pretty much is motor vehicle thefts and probably homicide rate is up a little bit. We're at currently at 24 homicides for the year. Last year it was a combined of 23, and we just have a few months to go. So, you know, we're making sure that we're trying to do everything we can to mitigate these circumstances and intervene when we can, when there's conflicts, especially amongst groups who are not keen with one another. One of the things I would also mention is of the assaults that we take the reports in on, it's about 41.3% of the assaults were DV related. And we're not sure if that's due to, you know, the restrictions and movements due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but we know that has risen for the last few months and stayed at a steady state for a while. But I'm here to entertain any questions regarding what else we may be doing or need to do if we're working in this COVID-19 environment.
I guess my first question, Chief, would be, are the patrol officers staying pretty healthy through this? You're not losing too many people, I hope.
Well, surprisingly, you know, just because of those issues that came up, we're very cautious of when our officers are coming into the building and coming to work, they get their temperature check and such. And we try to mitigate as much as we can. But there have been a few circumstances where there has been a COVID-19 exposure, and we make sure that we prioritize their testing, that make sure that they're okay. And then we do the appropriate 14-day quarantine for the officers prior for them to coming back to the workplace. Because that then it's not just internal, but our external contacts that we have while doing our job.
Well, outstanding. The floor is open. Any questions for Chief or Temporary Captain or LT?
I have a couple questions. So
yeah, sure.
I actually have a forwarded email from a community member that recently filed a complaint with the TPD. And in this email, it talks about a couple instances in which the TPD did not respond to any calls. In what situations would that be applicable?
Crystal, do you have just a little bit more information that we can have a good response for you?
So, I have very specifics, but I don't necessarily want to put some of that out here, but basically I'll give you an overview is that there's a issue with the neighbor harassing her and her family on multiple occasions and threatening her family and indicating that she has a firearm in the house and also like screaming in the street until 2 a.m, clearly some mental health issues. There were multiple attempted assaults on other neighbors. And at one point, I guess she called the police and no one came at all the entire night. And then another time during another incident, the police were called again. And essentially on the phone, the officer told her that, she's saying you're harassing her, so it could be you too. So it kind of basically, she wasn't getting any participation or any response. And then the other question was, she had asked about what kind of mental health support was had. And then the response from the community officer liaison was that apparently there was no renewed mental health contract with the services that you guys were working with. So I just wanted to validate that as well.
Okay, so on your first question, I'm just going to open it up to Lieutenant Steele and Captain Carl if they're aware of this situation. Dan, you're on mute.
But that sounded so good what I was saying. Crystal, I think I know who you may be talking about because we get calls now and then, and this one person called a few times. So if you like, I can talk to you later to make sure that we got the same person and addressing their needs.
Sure.
Okay.
But I'm just curious to hear, in what situations would the TPD not show up at all to a call? Like, what does that look like, and why would that?
There's so many various potential reasons why we wouldn't show. Mm-hmm. I just would be guessing at that time why an officer wouldn't show. And maybe they did show, and she didn't know they were there. But again, if she asked for contact, then we would contact them. But sometimes there's a call that goes out, and it could have been. Let's say again, we're just talking about potential. In this case, because I don't know exactly what's happening. Unless she says, I want contact, we could drive by if the call was people yelling, the neighbors yelling at her. If we came and they were outside yelling, we drove by, we didn't hear anything. There was no yelling, we didn't see anybody. And there was not contact made, requested by the complainant, then the officer wouldn't contact them. That's again, could be hypothetical, but again, without knowing exactly if that's the person.
So are you saying that somebody has to actually specifically ask for them to contact someone or it's, themselves?
It's good to make sure that we do contact them. The complainant will have to say, request contact. It doesn't mean we won't contact them if we don't see it, but it heightens the potential of us getting out of the car and making contact with them. Or on the phone calling from the officer's cell phone inside to the person. Sometimes people say, please do not contact me. No contact requested. That's when complainants are complaining on a neighbor but don't want to be seen as the one putting the finger on the neighbor for doing something wrong. So we won't contact them. We could contact by phone, but not in person. And that's kind of obvious why they would not want us to do that.
And so then, can anyone explain what your current mental health procedures are with instances where you come across the need for mental health services?
Yeah, so I think there's a, your question that you have, I don't want to say complex, but it's multifaceted. To answer parts of your question, one is this, that we had three mental health professionals working with us through TFT Cares at one time. They worked with us prior to that. There's some issues that we had with contracts and getting the mental health professionals working with us again. That elapsed, but recently we were able to get one of the mental health professionals from MultiCare back on contract, but that MHP is working directly with the homeless outreach team. So we have that, and we're working towards filling those processes and those needs for upcoming 2021. But at the same time, we're also having those conversations, and we need to have those conversations regarding where those services lie and where they should operate out of, because, you know, some of the conversations we had is when it comes to mental health or some of those other issues, homelessness issues, we discussed talking about, you know, getting it out of the police umbrella and putting it someplace else in the city, but to still feel the same circumstances. So, I mean, this is a big, long conversation that we're working on, working towards and such. Right now, if there was someone in a mental health crisis, our patrol officers still respond out there, and they do the best they can with the, you know, the training that they experience, and go through that process. Does that answer the question?
Yes, and so then, from my understanding, you the contract between the three previous providers has lapsed, but you do have a current contract with one mental health provider that specifically works with the homeless outreach team?
Yes, I think that just happened in the last couple of weeks.
Okay. And then, so what are, is it kind of in limbo right now on when you're going to be able to get some of that support? I guess what's a time frame before there's some sort of support for the TPD to tap into some of these resources? And maybe that's a question for the city. I don't know.
Well, I think that our operations bureau, you know, and our community policing division, they're in contacts and communication regarding that process now, and they'll be able to provide us a better snapshot of that as, you know, they get the conversations continues and the collaboration continues. But there's no doubt that, you know, the city wants to have these services available for our residents in the city.
Okay.
I just was going to make a couple comments, so not so much questions, but comments. The first is that I think it's an unfortunate time to not have mental health services available. I think all the time is an unfortunate time to not have them available. So that's kind of just my comment on that. And on the first part of calling and not having contact, I think kind of specifying that people need to know to ask to have contact speaks more to like expecting that people know how to navigate the system, and they might not know how to navigate the system. So we need to be a little bit more conscious of that, that yes, some people might know that, okay, I'm calling the police and I need them to come and make contact. But I think a lot of people assume that by calling the police that they're wanting contact. So I just think it's something to be mindful of, not necessarily a question or anything that has to specifically be addressed.
Hey, Shana, it's Chris. So I can comment on that. So, and I can't think of the percentage of calls for you, but the vast majority of calls we will make contact. The ones that I will come to my mind will be the barking dog at 2 o'clock in the morning. The complainant doesn't want contact, and it's just an area check only, you know, a suspicious person. They saw a shadow amongst the trees in the front yard, so they don't want contact. So for Crystal, I would always say something along the lines, if there is a breakdown between South Sound 911 and Tacoma PD and a dispatch, I would have them file a complaint. I think I remember that she did file a complaint through 311, and at least let us look into it, because if there was a breakdown, you know, we want to make sure that it doesn't happen again. At the same time, there's always two sides to each story, so that's something for us to look into and see what actually happened. So I would always suggest for them to call internal affairs, call the on-duty supervisor that night. If they feel the police didn't come up and they did not get the services they wanted that night, is to follow up and file a complaint that night, at least so that way we can figure out what happened. And if, you know, if it was a mistake on our part or we didn't get all the circumstances, at least we can follow up on it. Because I can tell you, if there was a call where the neighbor was threatening somebody with a gun, officers would respond and they would make contact.
Well, and I appreciate you saying that. Anecdotally, we had like a personal experience. I was like, oh, Crystal, are you talking about my neighbor? And we called the non-emergency line, and the police called us back and kind of gave us the option on whether we wanted contact in person or just with a phone call. So we chose a phone call, but I think that continuity is important. And like you just said, making sure that if that didn't happen, that there's follow-up as to why, or, you know, the other side of the story.
Yeah, 100%. And like Chief Akey talked about earlier, with the COVID restrictions in place, a lot of officers are trying to handle routine calls by phone, you know, thefts, neighborhood disputes, something like a neighborhood dispute with a gun, you're going to have face-to-face contact. But a lot of things they're trying to handle by phone, so that way they don't come in to contact with members of the public. But again, Crystal, I would have them make sure they follow up with 311 or internal affairs, and so that way we can look into it.
And I think another question is, you know, for this situation, it's been ongoing, you know, for quite some time and escalating. And so it comes to the question of now there's a court case for an anti-harassment order, but that's not, you know, there's time that's involved in that. And so, you know, to not have an officer come when the situation is escalating and getting scarier and scarier, right? I guess it's a little concerning that there was no contact made and that she would have had to specifically ask for that. So that's just kind of my thought process on it. And if there's any other bits of information that we can share with community members that might be going through something similar, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, I think about the question that you have, and I think about each individual situation varies, and with the question that you specifically have, without knowing all the details with it, it's really not even appropriate for us at TPD to make the comments, especially if we're talking about, you know, someone else, a neighbor and such. I'm just trying to respect that privacy of that person and the issue that they have. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll be glad to answer that, you know, offline.
Sure.
But yeah, but I think we're kind of almost getting into privacy issues.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions?
I just wanted to follow up. This is Kiara. I just wanted to go back to the issue about like the contract lapsing for the mental health care providers or the mental health providers. Is that typical that the contract lapses and then it lapses before it's like renewed? And I can't echo Shana enough in saying like, I can't think of a worse time to have a contract be in lapse when people are staying at home. And I just imagine, you know, how many folks or domestic disputes are going on between, you know, people that already have feuds, people who live amongst like in living communities. Like, I just can only imagine how much mental health care is just, I just can't even wrap my mind around that. So I'm trying to figure out, is there something that we need to advocate for to make sure that that doesn't happen? Like what can we do? Because I feel like that's unacceptable.
I think those things that you're discussing and the need is absolutely necessary. You know, as everything that we do, we're not perfect. So we do the best that we can and work with our other city partners. And you're right, you know, we have to have those services and we got to do better in making sure that those contracts are they don't elapse or they don't fall through. And so, but this is a more than one department's involved in this situation. And we realize that we got better work we need to do on this, and we agree with exactly what you're saying.
Thank you for that.
Chief, just one question for me. The mental health professionals, are they funded out of your general budget or is there another source?
It has varied for a while. So for a while, the mental health professionals were working under, I believe, TFD Cares, and they have their processes there. I knew they were TFD employees for a while, and then couple, you know, regulations and such we have to look at and make sure we're in compliance with. So we had those kind of discussions, and then we have to bring our, you know, partner MultiCare into this conversation. So there are so many different factors involved, but no, it hasn't been under our budget for a while.
Okay, thank you. And Chief, if you would be kind enough to check the chat window when you can.
Okay, will do.
What kind of support can the community give at this point? Is there anything out there that, I don't know, would help?
Sorry, Stephen, if that was for me, I guess I can't do two things at one time. I was trying to read that chat. Can you say that again?
I was just asking if there's anything just generally that the community could be doing to help during this period of time.
No, I think what you guys are doing is all the right things. You guys are helping us get, you know, engage the community, get the communications going, and, you know, bringing up the hard topics, discussing that. And eventually, though, when it comes to the action part, you know, I'd love the ability that whatever we come up with together as partners, we have the same message, and ensuring that we're going down the right path. You know, the overall intent for us at the department is to make sure that the community understands that we are collaboratively working with our citizens and our committees, and especially CPAC. As we move forward.
Well, thank you, Chief. Anything from temporary captain or LT before we close out tonight?
I have nothing further.
Okay. Well, just wanted to make sure. Just wanted to make sure everybody had the opportunity. So with that, thank you, folks from Tacoma Police, and we'll move on to the next one, discussion items. A, presentation to the CVS on last Thursday. Well, I did a presentation for end of year to the Community Vitality and Safety Committee. It was almost a year and a half, 2 year end of year report, but we got it done. I just want to say that to a person on that committee that they were just very effusive in their appreciation for CPAC, for everybody on the committee. Lewis can back me up on this. They couldn't say enough great things for not only what we do, but the things that we've taken on over the past couple of months and the outputs that we've provided. They recognize that we have stepped up, and there's a lot more time devoted to things than would normally be, and they just wanted to know everybody was appreciative of that. I had to share my appreciation with the committee because they've really sent us a wonderful, diverse selection of people to be on the committee, and I had to offer some thanks for that. We've got the review of the CPAC bylaws and increased authority coordination and how that's going to interface with the Systems Transformation Committee. We've got a lot of work coming out of this. Probably after the first of the year, things will kind of start slowing down here a little bit, I believe. So again, you know, Councilmember Ushka, Councilmember Hines, Councilmember Hunter, Deputy Mayor Blocker sent by way of other people, just some wonderful, wonderful words. You should be very proud of what you're doing and what we're doing as a committee. Lewis, you want to jump in on that?
No, you summed it up. They were very, I reminded them that it was eight people that they should be proud of on the committee. So they were happy about it. I mean, they were very great. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's funny. Well, it was a great presentation. It was very well received. And I will just continue to send great thoughts coming back from them as they have requested of me to do. Having said that, are there any questions about the presentation that was made? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and go to the new business line item. Do we have any new business going on?
To go back to B of this, the bylaws and increasing authority. I did talk to the city attorney earlier this, well, I guess that was last week. Don't know my days part. He's going to be talking to Nick Brown about getting back with his group to help work through that process as well. Because there's some parts of that that would also have to be part of the police negotiations for their new contract and all of that. So I'll be working with Bill to work with, to get you guys and Nick in the same room to start working on that work as well.
Outstanding. Thank you for that. We also did get commitments from the CVS subcommittee members to shake the trees and get a youth seat filled on this particular committee. So we're looking forward to that. We've got the replacement for Alex out there as well. They have that for action. Hearing no other new business at this point, I will go to subcommittee reports, outreach. Okay. Outreach is done. We've got some action items for coming up with, Dana, did you have something?
No, but I think Crystal had something and she was on mute.
Oh, okay. Crystal.
Sorry. I think really we're just waiting on the next step for the 8 Can't Wait and what we're going to do with that. If we're going to do another community online forum thing with working groups or work groups that we did last time with the body cams. So as soon as we get word on that, we'll facilitate with that. That's really all we've been working on so far.
Cool, outstanding.
As a side note, one of the other things that I wanted to bring up in the meeting at some point, I've been asked to also be on a secondary work group for policing issues. It's kind of a, I guess it, a less formal group, but it's a group of folks who are doing some discussions around this process also. So they had one meeting and I made it to about half of the meeting. So it was literally just an introductory meeting, but I will make sure that I bring information back and forth from the two groups.
Thank you.
What is the other group, Dana?
I can get you the name in the email.
Okay.
We can work with that. Anything else from outreach? Hearing nothing. Yep. Okay, hearing nothing. Or I see Tanisha.
Sorry. I was going to say, when Shana Lewis and I presented to the Black Collective this Saturday morning, and they mentioned that there are some other informal groups working on this together as well. And so I think just us being open and figuring out how we, you know, stay connected. We're not necessarily working on the same things at the same pace, but that we're just keeping the communication open between the work that CPAC is doing and the work these other groups out in the community are doing is important.
I agree.
Well, it sounds like that went pretty good. I'm glad to hear that. Moving on to the Data Tread Subcommittee, Chair Hagberg gets to speak on this one. Actually, you've seen the stats. You've seen an increase in homicides. We're above where we were last year, and last year was worse than the previous 3 years. So it's a pretty intense time out there. But it's not just homicides. I mean, we had a six-year-old child that was hit in the leg by an errant round on a drive-by shooting. That's pretty horrible. And yesterday we had up on Portland at 40th or 44th, somebody who should not have been driving apparently lost control and hit a bus stop with somebody on that bus stop, and that person's not doing very well at all. There's just some really upsetting things going on out there, but you know, we do what we can. We try and make things better and go from there. I do appreciate all the things that PD does out there. And there you go. That's data and trends. Too many upsetting stories. How about that? Moving on to the policy and program review subcommittee chaired by committee member Raphael. Go ahead.
Like Tanisha said, we met with the Black Collective on Saturday, and Lewis did a really good job presenting the slides that you had presented to council about our recommendations with the body-worn camera policy. And there was discussion on it, and kind of the main feedback I got back, and Tanisha and Lewis, you can correct me, was there was a big wondering of like how effective our recommendations would be and if there was actually going to be a change based on our recommendations. And Tanisha relayed that it's being taken seriously and our recommendations are being 100% considered. And then again, they mentioned outreach with other groups and kind of making sure when we're doing community outreach that we're taking all of that into consideration. So Lewis, go ahead and Tanisha, add anything you.
No, I mean that summed it up, and they were concerned that the policy, that the recommendations hopefully will be negotiated with TPD in a way that would be beneficial to the community and to the people that TPD serves. So of course that's out of our hand, but Tanisha was clear to explain to them that that's coming in the next round, would have to be negotiated with the new CBA that they're getting ready to I think initiate soon, right, Tanisha? Or it's still in discussion?
There's actually the 2020 contract is on the agenda for tomorrow. And then they'll start negotiating the 21 contract. So the things that you guys put forward as recommendations will not be in the one that's approved tomorrow because they needed to get that one done. But it does have the permission to get body cam started, and then they'll look at the, so not a permanent provisions are right now. Right now, there's like the temporary ones to get.
You mean the current policy?
Yeah, current policy. Okay. And then they'll start negotiating towards the next one for the upcoming contract. So they'll go right back into negotiations, and that's where they'll start negotiating. At this point, we're looking over all the recommendations you made and trying to determine which ones are the ones that have the most teeth and the ones that we need to push for going into the next round of negotiations.
So. Outstanding. Chair Raphael, anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay. And I see that, they are a very popular subcommittee, so we're back to the outreach subcommittee just to see if there's any updates. I see smiles but hearing none. We'll go ahead and move to the community trauma and response team subcommittee. Is there anything new on that, or did we cover
just what we're gonna do moving forward with setting up a meeting with the chaplaincy and the subcommittee and then report back?
Well, outstanding. Thank you all for all that you do and all that we will be doing together going forward. That does bring us up to public comment in a period of time where we open it up and ask people if they want to make themselves known and ask questions make comments to use the raise hand function down at the bottom. I see we have one on tap, Cheryl Kopik. And almost there.
There we go. Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I already typed it into the chat. I actually have had my hand raised for a while, but I just wanted to mention that every time I've called 911,
the dispatcher always asks me if I want contact from an officer. So if the officer didn't get the information, then that's probably a breakdown between South Sound 911 and the responding officer.
Well, thank you. That's been my experience as well. So I'm sure that there will be offline discussions that kind of look for any gaps that developed on this particular situation. And thank you for being on the call with us. The person that has got some complaints or issues. So far, that's the only person that's raised their hand to make a comment tonight.
I'll add, Chair, just in case, because we do have two callers on the phone. If either of our phone comment public members would like to comment, you can press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. So we'll just give you that opportunity just in case.
Oh, we have one.
You'll just have to unmute on your phone, but you should be able to talk now.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you for being here.
Hi, this is Venus Durgan. I haven't attended any of your meetings for a while. I live in South Tacoma. I just wanted to comment on a couple of issues. The mental health issue is a concern, and I just wanted to bring up, and I don't know if CPAC knows about this, but I made a note back in July. I watched the county council meeting, the human services county council meeting chaired with Councilmember Young, and there's actually, Pierce County has, the Sheriff's Department has a program. It's called the Mobile Outreach Crisis Team, and it's a co-responder program that they work with the Pierce County Sheriff's Department. And I listened to the meeting, and they actually have 42 staff members that work 24/7. They have 21 designated crisis responders and 10 crisis intervention therapists and 5 Pierce County co-responders that work with the Pierce County Sheriff's. And what I noted at the meeting is that they were in talks with TPD and were supposed to follow up. And I don't know if they did or not. So I don't know if that's something that CPAC or I don't know if the police department's still on the meeting call, but may want to follow up with. It is a regional program, and it looks like Adam Parker and Steve O'Ban is the senior counsel for behavioral health. They put together this program. So I don't know if this is something that CPAC may want to look into and reach out to Councilmember Young and see if they can collaborate with TPD on that and MultiCare. And then my other issue is TPD calls. And I brought this up at our South Tacoma Neighborhood Council meeting. And is TPD still on the meeting here? Because I had a question for them.
They are, Venus. Go ahead.
So I have been submitting concerns about large gatherings in public places with no social distancing and masks, and it's been happening all summer. And our neighborhood calls CPD. It's happened every single weekend, and it's been documented. And we don't get any response from TPD or Metro Parks, and the response that we've gotten is that they're not going to break up these large gatherings and events that have been happening. That they've been instructed to educate. And I've been informed from TPD that they will not even respond, which they haven't all summer, to any of our calls of these large gatherings. And sometimes they are memorials that we've had. And a couple of weekends ago, there was one of these at Lincoln Park that turned into a drive-by shooting. And we've had like 100 people or more every single weekend. And my response from TPD is that they will not respond to these unless this is a safety issue. And we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I don't understand why the city of Tacoma, Metro Parks, and TPD are not disbanding these large groups or events. Businesses are being fined for this, but yet we're allowing this to continue to happen. And I'd like to know who is giving the direction not for TPD not to address this.
Venus, I'll go ahead and take that for action, and we'll make contact offline and try and get you an answer for that one.
So who at TPD is, I mean, can Chief Akey address this?
Okay, Chief?
Yeah, this is everything to do with COVID-19 is very complicated. You're right that we are more into the education rather than enforcement for various reasons. But I think it's needs a more in-depth conversation. And the question that you have, Venus, we'll make sure that we'll take it to the right staff within TPD, and they can make contact with you and get more information for you in regards to our protocols on how we handle the COVID-19 violations.
Thank you, Chief. I will okay. Go ahead, Venus.
I just want to make it clear that we've called every single weekend all summer, and not one officer showed up until a couple of weekends ago. And my information is that it came from leadership that because I got a call back, that it came from leadership that they would not address a call of large gatherings and events unless it was a safety issue. So I'm not sure what's not clear about large gatherings with no masks or social distancing is not considered a safety issue when we're not supposed to be doing this within the state of Washington right now. So a follow-up would be great. So thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. And thank you for being here. It's been a couple of months. That being said, are there any other people that want to raise their hand and make a comment? I'll let that go for a moment or two, and I'll just kind of fill time as a professional in a fashion that nobody picks up on the fact that I'm just filling time. But going once, going twice, we'll go ahead and close that out for public comment for this meeting. Thank you very much for being here and being a part of this. We'll go ahead and move up to topics for upcoming meetings. The next meeting being, I believe, November 9th, 6 days after the election and in whatever state society's in at that point. Anybody have any topics that they want to bring up? We have the liaison expectation standards ideal candidate that's just been kind of hanging out there. Is there anything else that we want to take on as a topic?
I know. Do.
Go ahead.
So a couple meetings ago, I think we started to address the social media policy for TPD and said that it was in the works, and the last call about not responding to COVID and masks and that sort of thing reminded me of it just because of some things I've seen online. So I would like to revisit that and possibly have an update from TPD on what their social media policy is with their officers.
Chief, can we have that for November 9th meeting?
Yeah, sure. Or I can answer it real quick now.
Oh, okay. Sure.
That the change of working conditions is subject to bargaining with our unions within the department. We brought that up and they made sure that they notified us that just any change in working conditions has to be bargained with. And that's why we're in the process right now. We're hoping that maybe in the next bargaining session, that topic will be brought up. We thought, we were moving forward with that until we were reminded of such. I believe there was a unfair labor practice filed on the department regarding that, or a demand to bargain. So we're on a standby mode until we negotiate that.
Shane? I have a question for Chief Akey. Chief Akey, when is the next bargaining session scheduled to start up?
I know it's going to start up pretty soon, right after this one, because I know they're looking at that, you know, the 2020 contract as a 1-year term. So okay. I believe it's supposed to follow up, you know, right after. And some of these other topics that we're talking about, including social media policies and other changes, we're going to have to bring that up, because as you can imagine, that's going to be a longer conversation. It's going to take a little bit longer. And we had to kind of separate those two, you know, for one, just try to get that body camera implemented as soon as we can for that 1-year contract, and the other issues moving forward with our bargaining units for the next couple years.
I was just kind of wanted to say it just to be mindful of that when we have topics of conversation that are so heated in the climate we have right now, when we have officers who make it known that they're officers on social media and then post certain things that might be anti-mask or something like that, that it's going to have an impact on the community. And I just felt like it was important to say, since we represent the community, and I think that we should be very cognizant of that, and hopefully TPD well when moving forward with discussions with the contract.
Thank you, Shana. Thank you, Chief. Any other topics for upcoming meetings? We've got the social media policy and expectations. Anybody else have anything? Going once? Oh, go ahead.
So you have the follow-ups to kind of the things that we've been working on there already, right? So like the body cam stuff, all the stuff that you have, the recommendations that you presented?
Yes.
Okay. And then I was thinking we should probably talk about any like concerns, like post-election concerns, and kind of see like if there's anything going on, anything that we need to talk about.
That would be an excellent thing to add to our November 9th meeting. Like I said, 6 days after the election, so could be an interesting time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kara. I certainly don't have any other topics. I mean, we're kind of on the downhill run to the end of the year, so under normal circumstances, it would quiet down, but we'll no doubt stay busy. Having said that, unless anybody's got anything else, I'll certainly entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh, wait, quick question. Did we change our name? Did that happen?
Oh, we did, yes. We've changed from Tacoma Citizens Police Advisory Committee to Tacoma Communities Police Advisory Committee to be more inclusive.
Tacoma Community Police Advisory Committee.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And council thanked us for being proactive and then coming to them to get that changed.
Oh, nice.
All right. A motion to adjourn?
Yes, so moved.
Seconded.
Thank you both. All those in favor, wave your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? Having heard none, at 7:22 p.m. on 10/12/2020, CPAC adjourns.